This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 18 of Tatooine Sons. This week, we look at the shocking revelation that Grand Admiral Thrawn and Darth Vader are being sent to a mission on the planet Batuu. Next, Laura Dern stated in an interview that Vice Admiral Holdo is a Force user. We'll discuss if that is even possible and what it might mean. And finally, we'll share our thoughts on a recently revealed behind-the-scenes moments from The Last Jedi. We will be honored if you would join us. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A true to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, maybe you should fix that.
Absolutely, yes. Should fix that.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. And that's my dad, so here he is, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Well, you went a little off script there for a second. Which is okay. I'm just glad to have the Tatooine Sons together again for a podcast. I remember sitting here last Saturday totally depressed because I'm sitting in this room. I'm editing. I'm putting things together, pulling clips, listening to you guys talk. But you're not with me. It's been like 3 weeks since we've done a podcast together.
Yeah.
So welcome back. Did you guys have a good time on spring break?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Tell us, BB Nate, why don't you explain what happened to the start spring break? As you guys were on the airplane flying to Orange Beach, Alabama, getting ready to go spend 2 weeks with your grandparents, what was going on in Alabama with your grandmother?
Oh, well, you know those little concrete blocks where it tells you to stop when you're parking, kind of like the curb?
Yeah, the parking barriers or whatever.
Yeah, those type of things. Well, let's just say she tripped over one and just hit her face.
Face planted.
Yeah, and she broke her nose, she sprained her wrist, sprained her neck.
Her face was all red. It was like, not pretty.
Yellow around the eyes and blue everywhere.
All right, let's not gross them out too much.
You know, you've heard the phrase falling flat on your face?
Yeah, that was literally what happened.
It was
pretty bad.
Awesome.
And also, my shoe was falling.
But it was still fun. We had fun. She's doing a lot better now.
Yes, she is.
So.
Good. So what was the most exciting or fun thing you guys did while you were on spring break? Samuel?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like necessarily what I did, but it was fun to watch BB Nate. We went to the arcade and there was this, like, you know, the claw machines. Well, I had a huge version of a claw machine where it would grab like these big giant bouncy ball sort of things. And a lot of the bouncy balls had like ticket values on them, you know, like 3,000, 1,000, 5,000 or something like that. And I just kept seeing Nathan racking up, you know, points. He got a 5,000 ticket one and 2 3,000 ticket ones, and he was just racking up the points on that thing, and it was kind of fun to see him do a great job at it. So,
BB Nate, how were you able to figure out how to basically
get past
beat
the
that
rating?
Game?
Well, it cost 2 points each try. And that wasn't that much because when we went
so you had
there,
like ticket values on a card you'd swipe
yes,
or something?
Yes, you'd have a card.
Or token values.
It's easier to do it with a card. And so it would at least take 4 points. And so I would, the first time I would go for like a huge ticket value that was, they normally put them out in the back. So you'd grab it. I would move it closer because there was always a rig system where it would fall out the left side when it started to move. And so it would always fall out that side and move it closer and then try to make it bounce into the hole the second time. And it worked a lot. A kid was trying to go for one, and then I tried for my first time, and I got it.
So you watched somebody else and figured it out while they were doing it, and then just went over there and started getting points?
Oh, no, I just figured it out.
I'm going to take you to the casino when you're old enough. We'll figure out how to beat the games. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. That's... Anyway.
Why not?
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What'd you guys buy with the tickets, BB Nate?
Oh, Star Wars Clue.
Yeah. Of course.
It's pretty cool.
Why not?
And then with the leftover tickets, I got like a light up frisbee or something like that. Awesome. It's still cool too. But the Star Wars Clue is fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, my favorite part was going to see Pacific Rim Uprising with the one and only John Boyega.
John Boyega. You kind of liked Pacific Rim when the first one came out.
Yeah, the first one was okay. It was just more fighting.
And it wasn't for plot. It was just, you know, to satisfy that little kid and all of us. You know, giant monsters fighting giant robots. Like, what more?
When we were playing with action figures when we were younger.
Right.
Yeah, like younger. Like what? Like 30 days ago?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. But, this one had a lot more plot, because it was after the war, and John is the son of the dad that was...
Was his name Mildris Elba or something like that that played the dad in the other one? I can't remember his name.
I thought you were talking about the character name. I'm like,
but then the father...
He plays... sacrifice. Doesn't he? Isn't he in Thor?
He's in Thor, yeah. He's that...
The dad like, was in Thor, yes. Yeah, okay.
And he, like, guards the bridge or whatever. The Bifrost?
Yeah, the Bifrost.
Anyway, no, it was good. John was good in it, except he didn't have his... he was using his actual British accent as opposed to...
Did that feel weird, hearing him with a British accent? It felt
a little weird, even though that's his natural voice, you know.
You guys remember when The Force Awakens came out, how everybody was speculating that that's got to do with, like, Rey had her British accent... And John Boyega didn't, and so there was a reason they chose to have Rey have her British accent that was tied to her being a Kenobi or whatever.
We were digging for any clue we could get.
Raylo. So we had 15-minute Raylo theories on YouTube.
Well, I don't know if that had to do with Raylo, but it had to do with the fact
just
that...
It was
a big subplot behind the Rey Kenobi theory.
Yeah.
That was out there. Accent. We were dead wrong on that.
You were.
Or so we think.
we did get to watch The Last Jedi on Blu-ray yesterday.
Woo-hoo. That's true.
What'd you guys think? Is it good on Blu-ray?
The same. Like, there was nothing that much different
stories? Although the deleted scenes were pretty cool.
They were really good.
They were really cool. A couple of them we wish they would have left in, but it was good.
Yeah, BB Nate, what was the one that you can't say all of them, but one of the scenes, the deleted scenes you would have wanted them to keep in the movie?
Well... I don't know the name of it.
Just describe it.
Mega Star Destroyer Insurgent Extended Edition.
Well, I guess you do remember the name of it.
I do. Oh, yeah. It came back to me. And it was great because Rose, Finn, and DJ with Trash Can BB-8 are going through the whole...
That sounds like it'd be a Funko Pop or something. Yeah.
That does sound like a Funko Pop.
Trash Can BB-8.
Yeah. Or like a... rap or something. I don't know. It seems weird. But they're going through this Mega Star Destroyer, and it kind of seems weird because they parked far away from the tractor beam, and so they would have to go through it somewhere, but then they just...
The tractor beam? What were we talking about?
Tracker.
Oh, the hyperspace tracker. Okay.
Breaker?
Yeah. Okay. And so it kind of was weird how they just skipped through the whole them going through. But in this one, they kind of explained that they were about to get caught. They were, like, getting questioned for, like...
There was a stormtrooper that actually was in training with FN-2187, and he sees him. Are you FN-2187? And they get into this big, and it looks like he's about to get caught. And then he's like, "Dude, I never would have taken you for a captain, or something like that." He acts all casual about it and everything else. It was actually really funny. I think that would have been cool. What about you, Samuel? What would you have wanted them to have left in?
Oh, the scene where Rey crashes the caretaker's party or whatever.
Oh, that was a good scene.
It was good because, you know, Luke was like, that's what the Resistance needs. Not some old legend. someone who's just willing to take risks and go in there and save people.
And then,
and it was very Yoda-esque, because, you know, he's good. Like, he was laughing. He's like, well, I mean, sort of, you know.
It was very Yoda-esque. Raid and Plunder. Well, and, you know, it was almost he had his for a certain point of view moment.
Yeah.
Right, and, you know, the laughing, kind of like Yoda. Is good. I just really like the scene.
And
it's
then funny. Everybody just stops and is like, one of them just like,
waves.
Oh, yeah, they want her to wave the lightsaber. That
like
was
a, like
awesome.
A glow stick or something. Yeah.
And they're like, that's party.
It was funny, but it was really an intense scene, too, because Luke is like, that's what the Resistance needs.
Yeah.
And Rey was like, no, the Resistance needs the legend of Luke Skywalker. And what's interesting is,
they need both.
They're both right. It was a really cool scene. I actually tweeted out right while we were watching it to Ryan. You know, not that he listens to us, because he hasn't made Turbis canon
yet. Yeah, come on, Ryan.
But anyway, I tweeted out to him. I'm like, of all the scenes, the deleted scenes you cut, I wish you would have left that one in. That was a good one.
Yeah,
it was that so was good. A good one. And it wasn't that long. It was maybe 2 minutes. It would have extended it for...
Yeah, I don't know. It was important.
They could have cut out more Canto Bite and left that caretaker scene in, and I would have been fine with that.
They could have cut out a little bit of the whole father scene.
Well, they already cut a lot of that.
Yeah, but that deleted scene was unnecessary.
Yes, so. That was a very...
All right, anyway.
Okay. Well, here, before we get going with the show, I want to ask everybody, if you're listening to this podcast, you're on here right now, and you're enjoying this, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Read some things this week. 82% of people that listen to podcasts listen on iTunes. So we're going to put a link to our iTunes page on the show notes for this. Please click on that link, subscribe, and rate and review us. We're going to be talking about some of those here in a minute. But I just want to thank everybody that is subscribing to us, because we're really excited about what's going on with the podcast. So if you haven't yet, what's wrong with you?
Right.
We'll applaud in a minute, BB Nate, because we got some real
things.
He's
just so excited to thank you guys.
He's just ready to be back.
I know, I'm excited
in the show. But before we can get into topics today, we do need to talk about last week's, well, it's actually from like 3 weeks ago, but we put it up last week, podcast poll of the week. All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week was, do you believe that there are similarities in the changes between Star Wars A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, and the changes between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi? So if you guys remember a few months ago when we talked about that on the podcast, that was part of our Best Of segment last week. And we had a good conversation on there, and you guys should listen to it, because it was really good. Mm-hmm. I listened to it. I enjoyed it.
You had
a lot of people. Yeah, I did. A lot of people didn't agree with that. We did see, though, that 17% said not at all. There's no similarities in the differences in the storyline between 4 and 5, and then again between 7 and 8. So 17% didn't agree at all. 32%, they agreed with us wholeheartedly.
There we go.
They said absolutely. So they're smart.
Yeah.
Not with that. Well, that's not, and then there's some other people that are a little smart.
There we go.
Yeah, 51% said maybe a little.
Micro-smart.
Which actually, when you think about that breakdown, I honestly think that's almost identical to the breakdown between people that absolutely hated The Last Jedi, those people that absolutely thought it was one of the best Star Wars movies that ever made, and then a lot of people that just thought that was a really fun Star Wars movie.
Right, yeah.
So 17% probably of fans that saw that movie said they hated it.
Yeah.
32% said that they thought it was absolutely amazing.
Like,
and 50% of people that saw it thought, yeah, it was good. That was a good Star Wars movie.
Fun little movie.
Yeah, I think that's very similar with that. We do know of two people, though, that are big fans of Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Episode 8, and just also big fans of Tatooine Sons, because we have two new Patreon supporters this week. We have Matthew Rumball, who actually I can't remember your Twitter handle all of a sudden off the top of my head. I didn't put it in my notes. Salvatore_Chief, I think is what it is.
Okay.
He's one of these guys that makes these amazing Lego stop motion Star Wars things.
Oh yeah, I think I saw one of those.
About our interviews that we're doing for our Tuesday podcasts, our 10 questions on Tatooine Tuesday. We've done two of those so far. We've done one with our Patreon supporter Megan and Patreon supporter Peter. And he wanted to know how he could be a part of it, and he says, I have to be a Patreon supporter in order to do that, don't I? And so I replied back on Twitter, well, you don't absolutely have to be a Patreon supporter to be part of 10 questions on Tatooine Tuesday.
But it helps.
But I said it does put you to the top of the line. So he went in and he became a $5 a month Jedi Knight supporter of Tatooine Sun. So everybody give Matt a big round of applause. Yeah, and hopefully over the next couple of days, we're going to be recording his 10 questions.
There we go.
With it. And we also have Elaine. Elaine's been an interesting story. Elaine, and her last name is Dobreiner. Dobreiner. And her hashtag is Elaine Judson, I think, on Twitter. I think that's her maiden name. Or maybe her Dobreiner is her maiden name. I don't know.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't get it either, but that's... That's where we are. All so, right. Anyway, Elaine has written a couple articles for Tatooine Sons. She wrote about, she's one of our new contributors to Tatooine Sons. She wrote an, or she's a nurse.
Oh, that's
And so
cool.
She has a kind of a connection to the medical field. So that's she wrote cool. about how prosthetics are starting to become mirror.
More Star Wars-y.
Mirror Star Wars. So she wrote there a great article on that. And then she wrote an article about Bacta. And how it's starting to become a real thing.
Like legit back.
Like there's
stuff?
Healing gels that they're putting people's, you know, burns and scars in that are healing it. And then hyperbaric chambers with 100% or hyperbolic or something like that. I think it's hyperbaric chambers where you put somebody in the, like 100% oxygen type thing. And it helps their body recover from illnesses and injuries and things like that. And so she wrote a great article about that. And she's got some other articles. She sent me a Twitter message yesterday about 4 or 5 different ideas. With that. So, and she also became a Patreon supporter this week at the Jedi Knight level of $5 a month. So everybody give Elaine a big round of applause. All right. That's awesome. So very cool. And then we have a few reviews. We got 3 new reviews. Oh, I forgot. You guys, thank you guys for pointing that out. This is why we have show notes. I'll do a podcast of a bunch of highlights of previous podcasts.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right?
No, Neil. Neil Lowry. First of all, if you need to look up Neil Lowry on iTunes, because Neil has his own podcast now.
Really?
And it's their really cool little short bite-size podcast segments, usually about 5 minutes each, where he just shares some of his thoughts on different Star Wars ideas and keeps things very positive. Neil Lowry's Blow That Negativity Out of the Sky podcast, which if you know Neil on Twitter, and most of you do, Neil Lowry is the most positive Twitter fan or a Star Wars fan on the in the galaxy, and he's also our most faithful and engaged Patreon supporter. So last week we started going out there telling people we were looking at trying to add another to get to a total of 10 new Patreon supporters in the month of March, which today is the last day of the month of March, March 31st when we record this. At the time we had 3. And we needed to get 7 more. And that was before Matt and Elaine became Patreon supporters.
Supporters.
But anyway, Neil saw that and he increased his support again to where he's at a $35.
Jeez, dude.
A month. Neil, you, sir, are our hype star for us. So thank you so much, Neil. If you want to be a Patreon supporter, you're going to get some information here throughout the rest of the podcast to do that. We would ask you to consider pledging $1 a month and helping us hit our goal. I know there's going to be 5 of you that listen to this podcast today before the end of March 31st that we're going to ask you, if you're listening to this, to consider giving us $1 a month as a pledge so we can get our goal of 10 new supporters in the month of March. All right. We do have some new iTunes reviews, and I'm going to read these. And, of course, they're small and gray on my show notes.
Would you like me to do it?
No, okay. Why don't we each read one?
There we go.
All right. I'm going to read the first one, though, because that is from Matt, who's our new Patreon supporter. And so I wanted to take a chance to read him. And there's his Twitter handle, Salvatore_Chief. Samuel, read Paranormal Lauren, and Nathan, you'll read Mythosaur 1. Okay? Salvatore Chief, Matt, our new Patreon supporter, gave us 5 stars, and the title of his review was One in a Million. Probably one of the most unique podcasts for Star Wars. A father and his 2 sons talking about Star Wars. What could be more amazing? Star Wars news is always accurate. Hosts have great chemistry and also really interesting discussions on each topic. Each episode is a joy to listen to, and I find myself looking forward to it each week. I would highly recommend this podcast to any Star Wars fan. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate that. One of 1 listeners found this review helpful. Well, that was because I rated it. I rated his review. So you can do that. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Matt. All right, Sam, read about Paranormal Lauren.
All right, we got Paranormal Lauren. Who rated us 5 stars and just put, you know, one of those heart-eyed emoji things instead of, like, an actual title, which is fine.
Which is fine,
yeah. And it said, love listening to this experiment and family bonding. This is why I love Star Wars.
Awesome. And one of listeners found this review helpful too, because I go in and like every one of these reviews.
That's nice.
That is nice. All right, Samuel or BB Nate, read Mythosaur 1.
Mythosaur.
Okay, so Mythosaur. Are you okay?
I'm having a hard time.
Mythosaur 1. His title was Great Family Friendly Podcast.
Five stars.
Woohoo!
You guys wrong?
And he said, fun and informative, and it's also great to listen to the older generation of Star Wars fans introduce it to the younger ones.
I think that he's referring to me being the older generation of Star Wars
fans. You're old.
And you, I had my birthday last week.
Yeah, now you're really old.
I am. I'm like an old man. I'm like Obi-Wan Kenobi old. Not quite.
You're 43, right?
I'm 43.
Yeah. Old.
All
old
right.
Man.
Here, why don't we all sing happy birthday to
Let's
you? I'm just kidding. We need to get to the
topics. All right. Well, before we can get into the topics of the day, I want to thank everyone again who rated and reviewed our show last week. It does make such a big difference and helps others find it. And so if you haven't had a chance to leave a rating and review on iTunes, please just go on there and search for Tatooine Sons and take a moment to do that. That would be awesome. Because you guys are awesome. We have the best listeners in the galaxy. All right, so we're getting ready to get things ramped up. But before that, please take just a moment to listen to a word from our amazing sponsors who make Tatooine possible. I can't talk today.
Tatooine possible, Sons.
Who makes Tatooine talk, who makes Tatooine Sons possible every week.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel the Hutt. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. BB Nate and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends at Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, welcome back. Let's get things started. We all clapped. By talking about something we learned from the excerpt of the new novel, Thrawn, Alliances.
Wait, we have to go to the comic store. I didn't get the second issue of Thrawn.
We'll have to do that.
I gotta do that.
All right, anyway. Sorry. So we're going to talk about the excerpt from Thrawn, Alliances. All right. So the excerpt is of a conversation between Emperor Palpatine, Darth Vader, and Grand Admiral Thrawn. Which ends with the Emperor thinking, this is what the quote is, he smiled thinly. So I'm going to do a voiceover moment here.
He smiled thinly.
Time for Thrawn to face his future.
That would be the most annoying audiobook ever.
And it would be awesome.
That would be...
Time for Vader to face his past. I probably should read that again, so because everybody's like, what did he just say?
Well, yeah.
All right. He smiled. This is what the Emperor's thinking. He smiled thinly. Time for Thrawn to face his future, and time for Vader to face his past.
Dun, dun, dun.
Even a woman did better.
We need a song.
Stop it. Samuel the Hutt, what did you think about this glimpse into Thrawn, Alliances?
I'm even more excited to read this book, and I was already very excited, because I've read the... newer, older Thrawn.
What?
The reintroduction of Thrawn into canon in the novel world.
Right. So it was amazing.
It was. Timothy Zahn's reintroduction there.
Yeah, there we go. So, you know, I didn't really need an excerpt to get me, to get me to buy the book, because I'm going to get the book, but it didn't hurt either. So it was very interesting to see, like, both Vader's and Thrawn's thoughts to this, to their being paired for this mission. They're both like, no, I'm good. And they're both also kind of trying to be the center of power and in the Empire. You know, Thrawn's trying to be the Emperor's right-hand man, and so is Vader. And it's kind of cool to see this sibling rivalry, for lack of a better
term. Yeah, it is definitely a competition
so
between the two.
I'm going to be excited to see that. I want to see if it's like, you know, if they're going at each other the whole time. Because I'm sure they will be. You know, they'll be on the mission, and they'll just be at each other's throats, and then probably later on in the mission they'll have to start actually working together to defeat whatever this threat is on Batuu.
Well, yeah, don't talk about that yet. We're not there yet.
Sorry, spoilers.
Well,
sorry.
In the excerpt, when they were leaving, when they were confirming that they were going to go on to the mission, Thrawn was like, "Yes, my lord," because that's how he says it. I don't know if it was "yes, my lord," but it was like something kind of like that.
Respectful.
And then Vader tries to get a step up, and he says, "Yes, my master." And so they're trying to keep going on to each other.
That's interesting.
Sad little It really is like a sibling rivalry. They're trying to get their parents' affection or whatever.
So now go back to the original Thrawn novel. Not the original. Okay, let's. When we say original Thrawn novel, we're not talking Legends. We're talking about the Thrawn novel that came out in the new canon. Go back to that one now. BB Nate, you haven't read that yet, have you?
No.
Okay. Because
he's starting to read the comic series, though.
Yeah, comic series is going to be more your speed. The book is a little intense, a little deep, a little slower to read.
Yeah.
The pacing is a little slow. I think you'll enjoy the comics. Samuel, you read the book, and like you said earlier, you loved it.
Oh, yeah.
If you recall, in the opening scene with the Emperor, the first time that Thrawn is brought before the Emperor in the Thrawn, you know that part. Okay, good. There's this clear indication by Thrawn that he... has a relationship with Anakin Skywalker, and there's this statement that he seems to know more about Anakin than everybody else, which everybody reading that novel seems to believe that means he knows that Anakin has become Darth Vader.
Yeah, in a way.
With it. So now they're both Darth Vader and Thrawn are standing before the Emperor at the opening scenes of Alliances, Thrawn Alliances, and there's this tension between the two.
Yeah.
Do you think that Vader... Here's a question I would ask you. I'll start with you, BB Nate.
Ooh.
Do you think that Vader knows that Thrawn knows he's Anakin Skywalker?
Well, again, I haven't read the full book. And so do they have any interaction?
No, Vader? No more interaction in the Thrawn novel.
No.
I mean, Vader is there in the Thrawn room, but Thrawn and him have no conversation or thoughts about
each other. In the original Thrawn novel, there's none. Okay, yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. Well, I don't... I think he could, because he can sense people, but not as good as the Emperor. Emperor can literally, as we see in the excerpt, he's like, I can sense both of their surprise, even though they're showing it, showing that they don't have any.
Right, but they're trying to mask their surprise.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that Vader knows quite yet, but... He may. It's a weird con.
Do you think? Okay, so maybe he doesn't know, but he suspects that Thrawn knows.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say that he senses and kind of feels that Thrawn knows a little something. And I'm hoping that during the book, Thrawn kind of throws these little breadcrumbs to Vader to kind of, and like holding it above Vader to kind of show, hey, I have a little power over you. I could release this.
Yeah. Imagine what would happen if Thrawn ever revealed to the Empire. Of course, we know this never happened.
Yeah.
But if he could have revealed to the Empire and to everyone else that was Anakin Skywalker.
That would have not been good.
You don't think so?
So is Batuu in the Unknown Region?
Well, let's not talk about that yet. Yeah. We're not talking about Batuu yet.
I'm thinking.
I know, you're thinking.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not a problem.
Anyway.
I lost my train of thought. I was going to suggest something. Here's one thing I'm hoping we see in the Thrawn Alliances novel. I'm hoping that we hear the backstory of how Thrawn and Anakin worked together, because they allude to it in this excerpt as well. There's this idea that they partnered together on this planet. Was it Batuu? It was Batuu, wasn't it? In the excerpt, I think it was Batuu.
Yeah, so it was Batuu.
Emperor's, you know, thinking about the situation, and he's remembering how Thrawn and Anakin Skywalker during the Clone Wars foiled his plan on Batuu, that they didn't know they were stopping his plan. Which makes sense, because if you think in the Clone Wars, there's all this Sith Lord stuff that's going on that Anakin and Obi-Wan and the Jedi Council are trying to battle up against.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's at this point that's when Thrawn and Anakin are working together, and they stop a plan that we don't know what it was, but that's what Darth Sidious was doing on Batuu, and it changed things up. And I think that's probably where Thrawn discovers that Darth Sidious is Chancellor Palpatine, which is what he knows when he's captured by the Empire at the beginning of Thrawn. He knows that there's more to that story that's there. And so I think that's what I'm hoping we get that backstory. Would you be excited about getting that backstory, Samuel?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Any backstory is good.
Well, except for Snoke's backstory. We'll never have that.
Yeah. As we explained, we're not going to get into the novel. Did you read the Last Jedi novel? Have you finished that yet?
Almost.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
Have you seen any Snoke backstory?
No, there's no Snoke backstory. No,
I thought there would be, because that'd be kind of not making
I think
sense.
We're going to get a separate Snoke book, but that's different. Maybe Timothy Zahn will write it. But anyway, maybe Snoke is Thrawn. I don't know.
What? Maybe it's because he went into, like, the whole I'm getting into Rebels.
It's okay. He's Purgled.
He was in space, and it like sucked the.
Well, here's what's interesting, because we got to talk about this too in the Thrawn Alliance's excerpt, because the whole conversation with Palpatine and Thrawn and Vader centers on Palpatine sending Thrawn and Vader to a planet in the unknown regions. And at first, there's this argument that Thrawn's making that he shouldn't have to go. He needs to stay. He needs to deal with the Rebels.
Right.
This has happened. This scene's taking place immediately after the conclusion of season 3 of Rebels, when the crew of the Ghost and the Phoenix Squadron have escaped. And Thrawn and his forces were defeated by some supernatural creature, is what it says, which is obviously the Bendu,
right?
At the end of season 3, on Lothal, when he goes like crazy lightning storm and takes out everything, which was on amazing. Lothal? No, that wasn't Lothal. That was
you said the plan.
Did I say Lothal?
Yes, you did.
I didn't mean Lothal. I've got Rebels in the brain, so Lothal comes with it. But true. I can't remember the name of the state, the planet,
and
but country. It's wherever the Bendu is. But anyway, this is the scene, and Thrawn's wanting to get back to take on the Phoenix Squadron and try to capture them. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to go to this. And the Emperor says, I would have thought you'd have been more interested in journeying close to your home planet or something similar.
Within sight
of your home world. And that's when it grabs Thrawn's attention. And we find out that it's Batu, which is a really interesting thing. Because Batu has been revealed to be the name of the planet being built as Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland and Walt Disney World. And so, you know, this is a really exciting moment, because what does this mean for Star Wars fans? As Star Wars fans, when Galaxy's Edge opens up, we're going to go to Batu. So they're using Thrawn Alliances, it feels like. They're using Thrawn Alliances as setting up the story that we are going to get to be immersed in when Galaxy's Edge opens up.
That doesn't make sense, because you're already paying so much money to go to Galaxy's Edge. Why would they make you pay for a book?
No, I don't think that.
Go ahead, Samuel. Explain it.
It's just the book is there. You don't need the book to enjoy the world. You probably don't even need the book to get the story. You'll just get a little bit more. Like, you don't need to read any of the books that have come out lately for the movies or whatever, and you'll still enjoy Rebels, the movies themselves, whatever, and it'll be fine. It's the same for Galaxy's Edge. You can read the book and maybe get a little extra out of it, but you definitely don't have to read the book to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's we saw The Force Awakens before we watched most of the episodes of Rebels, and there wasn't really any need for us to see those things. You know, I guess what you're saying, Samuel LaHutt, is, you know, reading this book, Thrawn Alliances, isn't going to be required in order to enjoy right. Galaxy's Edge, but it will deepen your experience.
Absolutely.
Because you know more of the story of that planet, you know the history of Vader, you know what's going on with Thrawn there,
yeah.
And I think that's going to be exciting. I guess my question to you, BB Nate, as someone who hasn't read Thrawn, and we don't know if they're going to have the comic series of Thrawn Alliances ever come out. And if it does come out, maybe it won't come out before Galaxy's Edge opens. Would this encourage you to read Thrawn Alliances in order to deepen your experience to Galaxy's Edge when it opens up in 2019?
That's a difficult question, because when I think of Galaxy's Edge, I think of it being Star Wars. Oh, cool. Disneyland added a theme park that is Star Wars. And that's really cool, but I go there to the experience of Batu and to experience a planet and just be there to be immersed in it. But I'm wondering, since you've talked about it maybe having some story, if it would get me into it a little bit more, and if I would maybe enjoy Galaxy's Edge a little bit more if I knew more of the story, and maybe if you read Thrawn Alliances, you'll be able to see, like, Easter eggs that you won't get if you don't read Thrawn Alliances. And so, it's a difficult thing, because you said that Thrawn was really, really intellectual and had a lot of, it was deep.
It was a Star Wars Sherlock Holmes novel.
Yes.
Really.
I've read Sherlock Holmes.
I know, so I think you'd like it if you got into it, but anyway.
But It's just, I don't, the first thing is I'm a fast reader, but not as fast as, like, you were saying.
For sure, you're 12.
Yes, yeah. And so it's difficult, because I'm not sure, even after you two read it, well, Sammy's gonna get physical copy, because you like physical, right, Sam?
Right.
I can't deal without physical.
Yeah, you don't like reading on a Kindle or anything like that.
No.
That's the only way I read.
I hate digital.
Yeah, anyway.
And so Sam will have to read it. And then by the time they release it, they're probably going to release Ba 2 pretty soon.
I think 2019. It'll be summer 2019. I'm hoping. Okay, so let's just tie it all in together. So May the 3rd and 4th, May the 4th be with you, is Star Wars Night at Disneyland.
I was wondering when we were going to mention
And we're going to get there. And we're going to be there in costume. We're going to have a great time. And if you are...
try to be Snoke's legs.
Yeah. Oh, guys, help us figure out how to make that happen. We're trying to figure out... And if you want to become a Patreon supporter, you can help us pay for it. Because I don't know how we're going to do it yet. Sam wants to become Snoke's legs.
Just my bottom half.
For his costume. So, and then the top half would be something different. Like...
Just black.
Black or whatever. But you can't wear masks. And so we're trying to figure out how to make that happen. But anyway, we're going to be there at... We're going to be there at Disneyland for Star Wars Night, ringing in May the 4th, Star Wars Day, unofficially. And we're hoping that they make some announcements. And what those announcements I'm hoping for are two. I'm hoping that they announce Star Wars Celebration 2019 will be in Anaheim, where we're at that point, which we hope to be able to go and have a booth at and meet so many of you guys at Star Wars Celebration in 2019.
Also, become a Patreon supporter to help us with that as well.
Yes.
And that's going to be difficult.
Absolutely. And then I'm also hoping that they announce the date that Galaxy's Edge opens in 2019. And sort of the triple crown, the trifecta that I would be going for would be that they announce that Galaxy's Edge opens as where Star Wars Celebration is going to be taking place.
Nothing about and it opens at the same series?
Time. That I'd love for them to announce that, but I think it's going to be about That's Galaxy's Edge and Celebration.
I mean, Star Wars Celebration would be awesome if it was in Anaheim, and we would probably go either way. either way, if we didn't even get a booth,
that'd be great. No, we're going to Celebration.
We're going.
But we'd love to have a booth out there and let you guys meet us, maybe do some podcasts from our booth with you guys.
That would be fun.
We really are...
So if you want that to happen, you got us money.
Okay, all right. Enough of the Patreon plugs. We've done enough of those already. Sure. We've got one more like scheduled in the show.
All right. And, I mean, Star Wars Celebration would be amazing because then we would be able to like have it confirmed that it would be in Anaheim. That would be great. Galaxy's Edge being released the same time. I mean, we know it's going to be released in 2019. So that's going to be a little... That's kind of already...
Yeah, no. I'd love to know the date that it's opening.
I get where you're coming.
It'll give us hey Disney. It'll give us an excuse to buy annual passes.
True.
So all right.
But Dave Filoni, creator of all the animated series, has always been to the Star Wars days.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures I've of this. Him at Star Wars days.
Yeah,
and so if he's at Star Wars Night, and the next animated series just closed off, and they moved Infinity War.
They did move Infinity War.
Keeper of the Holocron.
Leland Chi
said, "May the Fourth be with us." A couple minutes
within minutes after them moving Avengers to April 27th. So I think that they're trying to build May the Fourth up to a big day. So
or maybe it should be like, since Infinity War is for the Marvel fans, I'll just be like, "May the Fourth be with us." Like
yeah,
us,
like that's our day. Fans. That could be it. Yeah.
It could be that, but I'm just hoping it's animated series.
Well, listen, you know, tell us what you guys think. Are you excited that it appears that we're going to be getting an entire novel to set up Galaxy's Edge? Just go ahead and tweet to us at Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S, and let us know what you think. All right, next, let's discuss Laura Dern's bizarre comments regarding Vice Admiral Holdo being Force-sensitive. But before that, this may be news to you, and if it is, it's because you're not listening to Tatooine Sons Holonet. And every day, we have a Star Wars podcast. If you're listening to this one, you may only think that we do a weekly podcast, but we have another daily Star Wars news podcast. No commentary, no spoilers, just the best, most important Star Wars news of the day. It takes about 3 minutes to listen to. It's called Tatooine Sons Holonet. Search for it on iTunes or any podcast directory, and you're going to find Tatooine Sons Holonet. And we usually have about three topics. We have the Star Wars Day in History, and we also have a new segment, Did You Know segment, which is sponsored by The Star Wars Fact on Instagram, which is a great Instagram account. If you're not following it, I encourage you to, as well as follow us on Instagram, Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S. But listen, that's a lot of fun podcast. People seem to enjoy it. A couple weeks ago, Steven Stanton, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi in the famous Twin Sons episode of Star Wars Rebels Season 3, actually tweeted out that he listens to Tatooine Sons Holonet, which was an awesome moment for us. So go to iTunes or go to your podcast catcher that you listen, you know, you get your podcasts from, and search Tatooine Sons Holonet and subscribe to that. And it's usually posted actually by almost every day by midnight on the East Coast of the U.S. So if you're in Great Britain or Australia, where we know we have some listeners, by the morning it's most of the time posted for you guys, and then East Coast on it's posted here in the U.S. And it's also available on YouTube and everything else. If you're an Amazon Alexa fan, you have an Echo Dot or an Echo from Amazon, you can set us up as a flash briefing and then just wake up every morning and say, hey, Alexa, play my flash briefings, and Tatooine Sons Holonet will play. You'll get your Star Wars news that way. So, yeah, that's pretty excited. All right, let's jump in there and talk about this crazy stuff that's coming out of Laura Dern's mouth. All right, so Laura Dern revealed in an interview that she thinks, or she seems to suggest it's fact, that Vice Admiral Holdo is Force-sensitive. Here's the quote. Dern said that Holdo was longing for peace and a revolutionary in that way, and wanted to be trained by and led by Leia, who taught her everything she knew. She wanted to come up in the ranks to support Leia's mission, but also had, and this is where it gets interesting, but also had this otherworldly side that does involve the Force. BB Nate.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
What? Right. Like, yeah. Why would she, of all people, be Force sensitive? We all know that Leia is Force sensitive, and that makes sense because
she's Carrie Poppins.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway,
it was a cool scene. Let's be
honest. It was cool.
It was cool, and we all know that she's Force sensitive because she has mighty Skywalker blood, as Luke would say.
That's true.
But Holdo, what's so special about her? Like,
she's a Force user. What's so special about Yoda? What's so special about Obi-Wan?
They're generals. You know? She's in the political office.
That doesn't matter.
Well, I think that what we learned in The Last Jedi, what we saw a lot in the last few seasons, a couple seasons of Rebels, and we also saw what was I thinking? I blanked. Oh, with Maz Kanata.
Yeah,
in the last, or Force Awakens, there are a lot of people that have the ability to use the Force. Chirrut Imwe, some would believe, you know, he's an adherent to the Force religion, the Jedi religion. But if you see that scene on Jedha when he's taking on the stormtroopers and all that kind of stuff that are going on that scene.
It's hard
to think that he doesn't have access to the Force in some way, even though he's not a Jedi. Maz Kanata has access to the Force. The end of The Last Jedi is pretty clearly telling the world that it matters not what your blood... Do you hear that? I just used some like King James Version English there. It matters not what your bloodline is. You don't have to be a Skywalker. You don't have to be a Kenobi. You can be a slave on... Cantonia.
Cantonica.
You could be a slave on Cantonica.
You haven't read Legend of Luke
Skywalker. I can't remember. Anyway.
It's a good book. Read it.
Anyway, you can be a slave on Cantonica and still have access to the Force and the ability to use the Force, as we saw with Broom Boy. And then you listen to Rian Johnson's statements, like what we had on last week's Best Of episode, where he talks about Broom Boy and he wants this Force to be opened up to everybody. It kind of makes us wonder if things like Holdo could have the Force. What do you think about that, Samuel LaHutt?
Interesting. Makes the Force less a less exclusive thing. Because, you know, it used to kind of just be Jedi and Sith use the Force, you know? And then it was kind of like what Rey said. It's just like a power the Jedi have, you know? And then Luke's like, it's wrong. You know, everyone, everything is connected by the Force. Everything can use or is manipulated by the Force in one way or another. So it makes this less exclusive thing. It makes it, it connects and binds the galaxy more now. You know, if you think about that, everyone is able to either use the Force or is able to sense it in some way. You know.
BB Nate, does this make the Force less exciting or powerful if everybody has access to it, or does it make it more?
Well, not everybody has the same amount of access to the Force. We know about...
That's a good point.
Yes, because nobody has the amount of midichlorians that Anakin Skywalker has.
Oh, please don't talk midichlorians. We don't want to do that. We don't talk about midichlorians.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
Not everybody has the same... Power in the Force as Anakin does,
yeah,
or
right.
Luke. But as we know about Holdo, she doesn't seem to put out that she has any Force.
Yeah, there wasn't any indication in the movie itself that she had the Force. And there wasn't any indication, you two haven't read it yet, but Leia, Princess of Alderaan, where her backstory is sort of set up along with Leia's, when they were training to become part of the Imperial Senate, and Holdo's a major character in this novel, and she's young, she's carefree, that's where she starts dyeing her hair, or she's got her hair dyed according to the color of her clothing, which is what's going on in the Last Jedi, and she's still doing that as like some 50, 60-year-old lady, which is a little weird, but that's okay.
Everyone's got to have their thing, right?
I guess, right? You know, do you. Anyway. you never once see anything about her having access to the Force. So it was weird that Laura Dern put that out. You know, another thing is sort of in a related idea to that same concept. Does everybody have access to the Force? There's a theory out there right now that Sabine has access to the Force.
And that would not surprise me.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, you want it to be the whole owl thing, but that's already...
No, I think she's got access to the Force. I think that, you know, remember I was watching this yesterday... when we were watching The Last Jedi on Blu-ray, and when Rey and Luke are in the Force tree, and Rey says, there's something that's always been there, but now it's awakened.
So maybe the Force just awakens certain people in accordance to its will.
Well, see, this is the theory with Sabine. I'll talk about Rey and that storyline to set up the theory with Sabine. The Force didn't fully awaken to the extent that it did with Rey, that to where she's got the power that she has now, until Luke had cut himself off from the Force, and Kylo Ren was rising in the dark side. And Snoke, in his throne room, says that Rey rose as the counterbalance to Snoke.
Kylo.
Excuse me, yeah, to Kylo. The idea is that when Kanan dies... in the Doom episode, or Jedi Knight, excuse me, Jedi Knight episode of season 4, that because he's no longer there, that something has to awakens in Sabine as part of the balancing of the Force. Because you've got the Emperor, you've got Vader, you've got all these things going on.
Yeah.
That the Force is awakening something. Because it, from what the theory says, is that you see a very different mindset from Sabine. She functions differently in the last few episodes.
That's very true.
As this. And so something is awakened in her. And now you've got Ahsoka and her in the epilogue to season 4. They're together. And it's almost as if Ahsoka is now going to become the master to... Sabine, and maybe they're going to ride, and maybe that's what Resistance is about or something like that. That's the theory. The whole idea, though, centers around this idea or this concept that the Force is not reserved to being a part of the Jedi or the Sith. Everyone can access the Force. Some people are more attuned to it than others.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that could be what Holdo was talking, or Laura Dern was talking about when referenced to Holdo, or do you think that there was something more that she was saying there?
Maybe it could be that the Force just kind of awakened in her right before, you know, she right before she made the decision to, you know, slice through the Destroyer. So that way it gave her that last bit of courage, because the Force is like, we need balance and this isn't working. So it awakened the courage in her, and you know, so that way she could move on with the procedure.
Right? Become one with the Force there at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It was pretty... What a way to go out, though.
Oh, yeah. It was a powerful scene.
She literally went out with a bang.
I mean, she's got a whole Star Wars maneuver named after her now called the Holdo maneuver. I mean, that's pretty awesome. So, anyway. Nate, do you think that that's a good idea or not?
I could see it happening. It wouldn't surprise me. And, yeah. It's just... I can understand Holdo being Force sensitive.
Well, here's what I like about that idea. Whether or not she's like a Force user, if she's being guided by the Force, you see so many accidents and coincidences and things that have to take place in the Star Wars story that if things don't happen just a certain way, the story doesn't progress.
Right, like stormtrooper blaster bolts.
Right, that's one theory as to why the stormtroopers miss so badly is that the Force is preventing them from hitting their target.
And when the stormtrooper hit his head on the top of the door, it gave him a concussion.
I don't think that has anything to do with
the Force. No, it does.
Nate thinks so. I can't help but think about that moment on Jakku in The Force Awakens when Finn has made his way into the village and he's just completely dehydrated and thirsty beyond any ability to think clearly. And he goes up and he's sticking his face in that trough with that giant, like, space hippo or whatever it is. I don't know what it's called.
I'm forgetting the name.
Anyway, he's drinking and it tastes hideous.
Hapabore.
What's it called?
Hapabore.
A hapabore. Okay, so anyways, he's drinking with the hapabore and the hapabore bumps him and knocks him out of the thing to where he sees the confrontation that Rey is having with those other villagers, the thugs that are trying to take BB Nate. And that's when BB 8, sorry. It's a habit. BB 8, and he goes in there to try to intervene with it. It's a hapabore, is that what you said?
Hapabore.
Hapabore?
Hapabore.
I thought it was a whole bore. Hapabore. I think if the hapabore doesn't intervene and knock Finn to see that, then
the rest of the movie
doesn't take place, right? So
I know what episode 9 is going to be called.
The Hapabore Strikes Back. What?
The Force Goes to Bed.
The Force Awakens. The Last Jedi. The Force Goes to Bed. That doesn't make sense.
It does. Yeah. Or Black
Impressive.
Diamond.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
Title. Yeah. Anyway,
working title is Black Diamond, but I don't.
It is
what
the working title. Okay. All right. Well, whatever happens. With this idea of the Force, one thing is certain. The Last Jedi did expand the idea of who does and doesn't.
That's very true.
Have access to the Force. And we want to hear what you think about this. So send us an MP3 comment with your thoughts.
In advance.
It's almost like a voicemail segment. Send us an MP3 comment with your thoughts to Tatooine Sons, SONS, TatooineSons@yahoo.com. And all right, coming up next, we'll discuss a couple of the new behind-the-scenes revelations that have come out from Mark Hamill and Andy Serkis. But that'll be right after these final words from our amazing sponsors.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right. We're back. Okay, so last week, Mark Hamill shared, I don't know if you guys heard this, but Mark Hamill shared that George Lucas's original plan for the sequel trilogy involved killing Luke Skywalker.
What?
But not until episode 9.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard about that.
BB Nate, do you think that the fan reaction would have been any different if it was Crazy Uncle George that killed Luke, and if he waited until episode 9, do you think that the fans would have reacted differently?
Well, Ryan killed him off good, but good. We saw what happened with the prequel.
Sorry. Man, he killed him off good.
Well, he killed him off just fine right there in that gosh darn movie.
Spent too much time in Alabama over the last couple of weeks.
And you're over here.
He killed him off good!
And you're over here pronouncing other things. Mythosar.
Mythosar. Anyway. So, yeah. So George. Oh, Ryan killed him off good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And.
That needs to be
He did it right. He didn't Luke Skywalker good. Like
justice.
And with his death.
His death was not pain and suffering. No. It was peace and purpose.
Yes, right.
But we saw what George did with the prequels. And we don't know what the heck he would have done when he killed Luke Skywalker.
That's a good point.
And so, thank you, Rian Johnson, for doing that.
Well, do you think the fans would have, you know, because people have reacted pretty negatively. Things like that Rian Johnson, gosh, I am tangled. I'm tangled. I know. That Rian Johnson killed their childhood is the words.
Ow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, pretty.
Vulgar. Jeez, gosh.
That's not nice.
I know, we need to.
Happy beeps.
Yeah, we need to take a moment for some happy beeps.
Wow.
So, do you think that people would say? Feelings. I know. Do you think people would say that about George Lucas if he would have killed off Luke Skywalker in Episode 9, Samuel?
I don't think they would have been as vocal about it because you know he's the creator of the originals and you know I'm sort of infallible. Granted, he made the prequels and we all agree that those aren't the best. But you don't hear the same backlash that you hear about those that you're hearing about The Last Jedi. And it's really all the backlash about The Last Jedi is geared straight to Rian.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that if it were George, it would be more like geared around the actual movie themselves and the story. Because most of the backlash about the prequels is the bad writing and Jar Jar. You know? And you don't really hear much about George. But with The Last Jedi, everything's like, Rian Johnson did this, Rian Johnson did that, you know? And it's just unfair, and I don't think they would have done that if it were George.
So, no one really complained that badly about Force Awakens. Not as bad as The Last Jedi.
That's true.
And
it is the number one grossing movie of all time, so it's kind of hard to complain about
Last Jedi
that.
Wasn't?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Force Awakens.
Second. Last Jedi was second.
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't?
Anyway, keep going.
Wow, I didn't know. Well, J.J. Abrams did Force Awakens, and he's done Star Trek, and he's done all these big
movies. He's done some pretty big movies.
Yes, and so people know him for what he's done, but now Rian Johnson's only big, known movie has been The Last Jedi. And I think that people are like, you chose a bad director because he's not trained, and he didn't do good because
he has no experience
in these type of things, like J.J. Abrams does. And people just don't look past the filmography on IMDb.
No, I think that that's not the... I disagree with you on that. I think that their problem with The Last Jedi and Rian Johnson is that they created their own headcanon around The Last Jedi. They spent 2 years making millions of YouTube videos that are out there and all these fan theories and speculations about Snoke and about Rey and about Reylo and about Finn, and I mean, gosh, remember the things that they were talking. Finn was the love child of Leia and Lando.
What the heck?
A theory that was out there. Rey is a Palpatine. Rey is a Kenobi. Snoke is Mace Windu.
Yeah,
You know, there's all these theories that are out there, and none of those theories came out in this movie. Rian Johnson made the movie that Rian Johnson wanted to make. And it was a great storyline, and it actually sets up Star Wars for an extended future in a way that making everything about the Skywalker family, or the Kenobis, or the Palpatines, or
like the Kardashians.
Yeah,
of Star Wars.
Exactly. He expanded the universe, and I said this before. I'll keep saying it. Rian Johnson gave Star Wars fans the movie they needed. Not necessarily the movie they wanted.
Yeah.
And eventually we're going to find that that's what's going to keep this series moving forward.
Because if you keep going with the Skywalkers or Kenobis, it's just going to get old. You're going to keep having
the
same
lame
story. Yeah. So with this, they opened it up to the entire galaxy.
And they made, and I actually was thinking about this week, J.J. Abrams kind of put Rian in a tough spot with what he did with Luke. Because if you're at the end of The Force Awakens, and Luke is standing there in Ahch-To. And you have to ask. The whole movie of The Force Awakens is them trying to find Luke Skywalker. They don't know where he's at. He's been missing for years. And they can't find him. So the first question you have to ask going into the next movie is not, who's Rey? Is she going to get together with Kylo Ren? Who's Snoke? That's not the question you have to answer. The first and most important question you have to answer is, why the heck did Luke leave Han, Leia, Ben, the Resistance, disappear and go to this island? You have to answer that question. And so Rian Johnson had to answer that question, and they had to come up with the story, and that's what propelled The Last Jedi forward. And that's the reaction that people are having against it. I don't think it would have been any different. I think people don't want Luke to die, and I think that would be the case.
Jordan, great segue. Yeah. You went totally off track, and then you're like, well, this is why it happened. Like, Pawpaw's Hour conversation where we're at.
Yeah, anyway. Any thoughts on the George Lucas thing? Killing off Luke?
Share my point.
Okay. What about this Andy Serkis thing? Did you guys hear about what happened with Andy Serkis? This is sort of an extra little piece that we'll throw in there. So Andy Serkis tells a story this last week in an interview of how he found out Snoke was going to die. And it was kind of a really interesting... Let's see if I can find it. I think I've got the article up. So I'll read his quote. It says, I was taken to my trailer on the lot at Pinewood Studios, which is where they filmed The Last Jedi. Where I was to read the script for the first time on a tablet. We were never handed printed scripts and had to hand back the tablet as soon as we were done. I was swiping through the story and landed on this epic scene where Snoke is goading Kylo Ren to kill Rey.
Goading?
Yeah.
Can
like
have a teaching moment?
Teaching moment. Goading means like prodding, like daring, like manipulating.
I double dog gate.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I doubled. It would have been a really good writing. That would have been George Lucas level.
Yes,
If Snoke would have said, I double dog dare you to kill Rey. Anyway, where Snoke is goading Kylo Ren to kill Rey to fulfill his destiny. It was riveting, the tension building with each line. I just couldn't work out where it was heading. And then as I swiped up, there it was. The end. Not for Rey, not for Kylo Ren, but for the Supreme Leader, just gone. I walked out of the trailer in a state of semi-shock, feeling the weight of knowing I would have to mask a great secret for a very, very long time. And then this is my favorite line. You guys should appreciate this. And that my brother, a massive Star Wars fan, was going to be heartbroken. Samuel the Hutt, what do you think about Andy Serkis' revelation of how he found out Snoke was going to be slaughtered?
Slaughtered.
I mean, I can understand his shock. I mean, come on, this is his character. He's gonna want it. No actor wants their character to be killed off. This is their livelihood. So he was probably upset, you know, just in the fact that, oh, well, there goes that. But also, I mean, I could understand how he would be backtracked. How he understood his brother was gonna be upset. Because I would be. You know,
I don't think he was like saying it was a bad thing that Snoke got killed. I just think he was totally unprepared for that to happen, and then he was thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is like this is for him. This feels like a I am your father level moment this movie, and it really is when you watch it the first time. And he's got to keep it hidden. He can't talk about it at all, even to his own brother, who's going to lose his mind. Think about it. Let's say, I'm going to use it this way for you, BB Nate. Let's say that Samuel, because he's kind of ugly. Let's say Samuel was Snoke. Just kidding, all you out there. This is how we love each other. Let's say that Sam was Snoke, and you knew he was playing Snoke in The Last Jedi. And you were so excited to have a brother in Star Wars that was playing a major character like this. And then you were sitting in the movie theater on December 14th watching this movie and you see Snoke die. How shocked would you be and disappointed would you be that your brother was no longer in a Star Wars movie that just got killed? In the movie.
You'd probably start rooting for the Praetorian Guards, wouldn't you?
Actually, I may be happy because you would have been gone all the time for acting.
Aww, that was so awesome. He's like, I would have missed you while you were acting. I didn't have to go double dog dare you to say that. You just said that on your own. That's awesome.
Well, if you were doing Snoke, I'd be all like ticked off, like, why the heck you kill him off? And I'd start rooting, you know, for the bad guys and, you know, be ticked off at Rey and all that.
And then you'd be happy. No, you wouldn't be happy at Kylo. You'd be angry at Kylo.
Right.
And then happy at Rey. No. Wait, what?
Hey, I'm a little confused, right?
What happened? You know when, like, Kylo brings the lightsaber back and Rey catches it? I would just love to see Rey just keep her hand down and for the lightsaber to keep going. Has anyone hit Kylo? You're
It's the second movie in a row. It's the second movie in a row where Kylo was bringing the lightsaber, that blue lightsaber, to himself.
And
Rey intercepted it in the air or pulled it away.
That's true.
Think about that. All right. Well,
you're like, stop.
Yeah, exactly. That pretty much does it for this week's episode.
Anything else?
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
We're talking about the May the 4th thing. And we're going to be there. And if you guys listen to our podcast, you need to meet up with us.
Yeah, we should schedule a meetup. Anything for you, Nate?
Thrawn issue 2.
Oh, yeah, you got to get that.
I get that today.
We still haven't gotten the season 3 of Star Wars Rebels yet.
Shame on us.
I'm going to do that someday.
We're going to do that someday.
And then I think I'm not prepared emotionally to have this conversation yet, so that's why we didn't put it in today's podcast. But I think next week, depending on whether or not the fervor is still as high.
Fervor?
Yeah, the excitement, the discussion, the buzz.
Got it.
If it's still this high, then maybe next week we'll talk about this petition, an idea to bring Meryl Streep in to play Carrie Fisher.
Is Meryl Streep the really political one?
She can be political, but that's not the case.
You know her.
The idea, I mean, Meryl Streep played a character that's loosely based on Carrie Fisher in Carrie Fisher's Carrie Fisher's movie about her life called Postcards from the Edge. And so started this idea. I think it's a total mistake.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good. So.
No.
I hope not.
God, no.
All right. I guess we got to talk about next week's, or this current week's, podcast poll of the week.
Ready, aim, and fire!
Wow. That was an interesting side effect. That's Krennic from Rogue One.
Oh, that's Krennic.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this from?
It means we haven't watched Rogue One as much as we should have lately. New podcast poll of the week. Would you like to... I put this as the poll. Would you like to see Meryl Streep...
Why did you do this?
Because I'm just a glutton for punishment. Would you like to see Meryl Streep replace Carrie Fisher...
No!
...in Episode 9? No. Well, I think you know where the Tatooine Suns stand on this issue.
Was Carrie Fisher... That clip from The Office?
No. Oh, yeah.
God,
no. No! Yeah, anyway.
No, it's Carrie Fisher.
All right, we're going to talk about that maybe next week. We want to hear what you guys think about it. Obviously, our opinion is very strong on this issue. So please feel free to counterbalance that and give us some good reasons why Meryl Streep should play Carrie Fisher. Because we can't think of any right now. All right, that's it for the week. Guys, anything else you want to say?
May the Force be with you.
Thank you.
May the Force be with you, always.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Yep.